For our second reading this morning, would you turn to Luke 2, verses 8 through 15. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah of the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angel had left them and had gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." This is the word of the Lord. I'm going to ask you to keep your Bibles open to the Psalm 122 text. Well, Thanksgiving is over. For most of us, we shared time with family, with people we love. We probably ate too much. And if you're like me, you've watched football every day since Thursday. But now comes Christmas. So how do you prepare yourself for Christmas? For many of us, we've already started to prepare our houses for Christmas. Hopefully you were able to put up your lights outside before this weekend. I put mine up Monday when the weather was 62 and it was raining. See, I had just gotten on the roof when a downpour came. And after a minute, I realized that I couldn't get any wetter, so I continued to plug in the electrical lights in a rainstorm. As I was getting drenched by the rain, I asked myself, why am I up here? And I'm sure my neighbors were asking that same question. But why do lights on my house help me celebrate Christmas? I started to think about the things that I do that help me enjoy this Christmas time. Things that help me get my heart and my house ready for Christmas. For me, it's candles, lights, music, and I love watching TV shows that talk about Christmas. And I even love going shopping at the mall. And for these things, I love to do at Christmas time. I even went shopping this year at 4 a.m. on Friday just for a new experience. And while I love preparing my house for Christmas and doing many things that help me have a good Christmas, I need to ask myself, outside of going to church, how have I prepared myself to meet Jesus this Christmas? What preparations have I made to meet God in a new and interesting way this year? Or maybe a better question is asked, how will I deepen my faith this year at Christmas time? How will I make sure that this Christmas I experience the real reason for Christmas and not get caught up in all the things that could interfere with my experiences of what this Christmas time should offer? In our first reading this morning, we read a psalm of ascent. Or another way of saying this is, it's a song for travel. This psalm was thought to be the psalm that they would say when they were on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Look at verse 1 again. "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" Can you hear the excitement in the psalmist's words? "I was glad when they told me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" See, for the Jewish people, they were required to take a pilgrimage to Jerusalem 3 times a year. The pilgrimage festival created an opportunity for the Jewish community to reaffirm their communal commitment to the covenant with God, to strengthen their self-identification of a nation, as a religious community, and to entrench the sanctity of Jerusalem in the place where the temple stood in the religious consciousness of the people. These festivals are at their core a community-building experience. Imagine what that had to look like. Three times a year, people would leave their towns, their campsites, their villages, and they'd make way to Jerusalem. Along the way, they would meet more and more people, all streaming to the city of Jerusalem. As they approached that city, they would see thousands of people walking into the gates, praising and singing God with this psalm. Imagine that. Imagine you're on a hill overlooking Jerusalem, and the hordes of people are saying these words: Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the Lord for judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For the sake of my relatives and my friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. I was thinking about this passage Friday morning, 4 o'clock, as I was in the mall. And I thought to myself, how incredible it would have been if everybody in the mall was singing praises to God. Can you imagine the people standing outside the stores in those pictures? And as they're waiting, they're singing, Silent Night, Holy Night. Mary, did you know? We went into Target at 6 o'clock, and Target is insane. Don't go there. They had a line that started at the checkout, if you've ever been there, and it wormed its way up and down rows all the way to the back wall where the dog food was. As a guy left, I stopped him. I said, I just have to ask, how long for the two rugs you got in your bag? He looked at me and he said, well, I got in line at 6:10. It's now 5 to 7. I thought to myself how cool it would have been if while these people were in line, they were praising God. How cool it would have been if you were in Target and they were singing instead of going down their Christmas list and checking, did I get everything? Instead of being on their phone and talking to somebody saying, yeah, I got this, I got this. Yeah, we're off to so-and-so next. The Jewish people used the pilgrimage to strengthen their commitment to God and to their community and to their families. What are we going to do in these next 4 weeks of Advent to do the same? What will we do in these next 4 weeks that is going to increase our commitment to God, our commitment to community, and our commitment to our families? First, how are we going to grow closer to God? Verses 3 through 5. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, that was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones of for judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David. We have to remember for that the Jewish people, Jerusalem represented where God dwelled. Think about that. For the Jewish people at this time, Jerusalem was where God lived. When they were going on these pilgrimages, they were going back home. They were going to the place where they knew that God was. They were going to a place where God dwelt. They were going to a place where they could commune with God. We have to remember this psalm was written before the Word became flesh. We have to remember that Jesus coming in the form of the baby was years away. The Jews traveled to Jerusalem to be close to God, to be where He dwelled. When they talk about going to Jerusalem, they're talking about going to be with God, to be in His presence, to dwell where He is. We also should come to this Christmas season every year to remind us that God came to dwell with His people. That's the gift to us this Christmas time. That's God's gift to us. I came to dwell with you. But do we come to Christmas to dwell with God? Do we approach this season as a time that we can get closer to God? What are we doing that prepares ourselves to meet God this year in a new and different way? And secondly, who are we inviting to come experience God? Verse 1 says, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Who have we said that to lately? Who have you invited to meet this God? I imagine that a lot of foreigners who lived in Jerusalem would look at the Jews and wonder, why are you coming here on a pilgrimage? What do you mean your God lives here? Why here? How many of the people around us or in that mall at 4 a.m. had no idea what Christmas was really all about? Or they may know the stories and they may have an idea, but they have never met God in the flesh. Are we inviting anyone to come and worship our God? Have we said to anyone around us this Christmas, let's remember the real reason for the season? As we come to Christmas to remember what God did, are we bringing others so that they can experience too? Do we know somebody who's lost that we could say, this Christmas, find God again. This Christmas, put skin on your God. The psalmist was glad to go and to dwell and to live with God. Are we glad that we get to dwell with God also? And are there people in our lives who will not be dwelling with God this year? I wonder how many Christians who got up early for those great deals on Friday morning would be happy to get up early to bring a non-believer to church. How many people who bought big screen TVs on Friday would share the story of Christmas with a lost soul this year? The second thing the psalmist talks about is praying for peace. What do you think of when you hear that word peace? What do we mean when we wish somebody, go in God's peace? In the text this morning, the writer of our psalm prays for the peace of Jerusalem and all those who love you. The psalmist is praying for peace for all believers. I find it strange that in this season of peace that we are entering, that peace is one of the hardest things to find. During my time at Fairhaven these last 2 years, I have met many people who are going through times in their life when peace is something that they are searching for. For some, they are going through a divorce and wonder when their life will be back to a time where peace can be found. I think of many who have lost a loved one who are experiencing Christmas alone for the first time. I think of a father who for the first time will not see his kids this Christmas morning. And all of us know people like them or are like them. People who will not find peace this Christmas. Yet the psalmist says, may peace be with you. And in our second passage this morning, the angels sing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men. What is this peace that the psalmist and the angel are talking about? How do we find this peace in a world that seems so, that seems to have so little peace? See, I don't know about you, but I loved Christmas as a child. I loved it for the presents. I loved it for the lights. I loved it for the Christmas story that we did in Sunday school and presented to the church. I loved it for the chocolate bar and the oranges we received every Sunday school Christmas program day. And I especially loved it for the 2 weeks off from school. But I loved it most for the peace. As a child, it seemed like Christmas was much more peaceful than it is as an adult. See, Christmas time now is about stress. Before, it was about a present, both the one God gave and the one I was going to get. But now it's about, did I buy the right present? Did I spend enough money? Am I being fair in the present that I bought? Will they like it? Are we buying the same for both? Is it on their list? Did somebody else already buy it? For some of us, we've just given up and all we do is buy gift cards. But even in a Christian home, it's more about the presents we give and receive than about the gift that God gave. So how can we have peace when we have so many expectations surrounding presents? And then there's the who, the what, and the when of Christmas. Whose house, what day, and what time? As a child, Christmas was just a time when you got in a car and you would wind up at another party. As adults, Christmas is a lot more planning, and let's be honest, a lot of peace leaves. I teach a class on Monday nights where we are looking at our lives and asking ourselves, where do I find my significance in this world? Is it in what I do or in whose I am? I made the comment this past week, can you imagine a Christmas with no stress? A Christmas where everyone gets along, a Christmas of pure peace. I want you to think about that for a second. Can you imagine a Christmas where everybody got along? A Christmas where there was no stress? And a Christmas where there was just peace. When I said this on Monday night, they all started to laugh. And they said, sure, we can think of that. But why? Why can't I have peace at this Christmas? As adults, what have we done to this season? Why does it seem so hard to find peace in a season when we celebrate God's greatest gift? Have we forgotten what the angel said? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. How will you find your peace this Christmas? Maybe a better question. How will you bring peace this Christmas? While writing this sermon, I looked up Christmas stress. And a Gallup poll said 30% of Americans find this season very stressful. I think that number is a little low. I think at some point all of us put stress on ourselves at Christmas. Many authors talk about how to handle the stress at this time of year and how to get through the season. But none of them talked about receiving the peace of God, reminding ourselves that this is a season that is about growing closer to God and receiving His gift of peace, not about how much we do or how much we buy. Let me say that again. This season is about what God did and about God's presence. It's not about what I buy, about what I give, about whose house I'm at, about where I need to be. This has to be about God and not about me. This has to be about His gift of peace and not about my iPod. This season is about our journey to God. As a youth director, one of the things I loved to do with my wife was to do Christmas youth musicals. We would start to plan them in September, and we perform them on Thanksgiving weekends. My favorite musical was one called For Unto Y'all. It was a country Christmas. I love this musical for what it taught the kids and the songs and the script and the sets that we built. But I love it more for what it did to one young man. Over the course of 3 years, I watched a young man go from someone who had no use for God. In fact, if you talked to him, he'd say he was a Satanist. To 3 years later, singing a solo about what God represented in his life. He came the first year. He came to every practice just to watch. He had friends in it, and so he sat back there, and we would practice up here, and he would just sit. I would go to him once every other week and say, "How you doing?" "Good." I said, "If you want, you could be a part of this." "No." You know, he had the black leather coat on in September, all this stuff. I said, "That's fine." The next year, when we were doing a youth musical, he said, "You know, I'm here every week. Is there anything I can do with you?" I said, "Yeah, I'd love to have you run the spotlight." He said, "That'd be great." So every week he would come, and we only used the spotlights the last week, so every week he would come and just sit. But he would listen to the message. The next year, we decided to do For Unto Y'all again. And he said, "You know, I'd really like to be a part of it this year." I said, "Great." I said, "What do you want to be?" He said, "I'd love to be a shepherd." I said, "Great." Shepherds had no lines. So we just sat there. And a couple weeks into it, we tried solo tryouts. And he said, "I'd really like to sing." I looked at my wife, and we both kind of looked at each other. Sure. We'd never heard him sing. He did a great job. And I got to share the story, his story. Was it the Christmas musical that brought him to Christ? No. But I believe that the message of Christmas for 3 years, for 4 months a year, had something to do with it. So my question to us this morning is, are we on a journey to meet God this Christmas? Are we glad to go to His house and to experience His peace? And are we bringing others to come here? If we make this Christmas about the gifts that we give each other and the places that we go, and not about getting closer to God, we are going to miss the reason for this season. If we put more time and effort into planning where and when and what we do than we do for meeting God, we've got it backwards. Decorating the house, shopping, making lists, planning get-togethers. If that's the most important thing this Christmas, we've missed it. How much time will we spend getting closer to God? How much time will we sit in preparation for Christmas morning? Will you spend more time shopping than you do in prayer? Will you spend more time cooking than you do sitting at God's feet? And will you allow somebody to steal your joy of Christmas? Or will you be so close dwelling with God that you will live in His peace? Think about it. Let us pray.